nutty, but I'll try them all over again. Cognac keeps you peppy, rum makes you dumb. Beer is a mellow drink, but it'll keep you on the run.
You haven't made your cocoa yet?
Well, I was waiting, and then I was trying to figure out how to make this new microphone work, and I failed there. So I'm failing a lot this morning. But did anyone expect anything different?
I can't answer for Natalie.
I can't hear anyone.
Oh, no.
And we're back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Popping Bottles. If you can hear my voice, then you probably know my name is Josh Scovia. I'm a recovering bartender. And because I can't bartend in a restaurant, I bartend at my house. And because I can't bartend at Bobby's house, I have to do it at my house. This is a comedic podcast about your favorite beverages, and I don't want to do it alone. I mentioned him earlier. I have a wonderful co-host by the name of...
It's me, Rob Grabowski. I'm the barback. I'll get the ice. Hashtag not Rob. Hashtag ocean cold. You know all the hashtags.
Yeah, wash your hands.
Hashtag wash your hands.
Bobby, I meant to do this last episode.
Uh-oh.
For 100-ish episodes, you've been the barback.
Yeah.
For our next 100, Bobby, I am promoting you to part-time weekday, early week bartender.
Whoa.
You'll stay on as my apprentice. You'll bar back when it's busy, but Monday lunches, Tuesday lunches, that's all you, baby.
Oh, man, that just makes the hashtag longer, but I'm in. Thank you for the promotion. I feel like I've earned it.
Yeah, you've earned it. And can I say, nobody will see this, but you, me, and our guests are all wearing black t-shirts.
Mine is maroon.
It's a little trick of the eye. Bobby, how are you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Good. I'm excited for this week's beverage.
Me too.
A hot beverage in the hot times I was afraid of initially. But now I'm all jazzed up. Mine's cooling on the windowsill next to that pie.
I'm gonna get that pie. I'm excited for this. I think it's gonna be good.
Life's been good.
Yeah, man. You know, I can't complain. Yeah. I started whenever. I don't know when this will drop, but I'm starting my first week of my new job.
Ooh. So,
you know, getting accustomed to waking up early again, having things to do. But
having structure.
Having some kind of structure in my life, but that'll be fun. Yeah.
What's the thing you'll miss most about during quarantine and not in working?
Oh, probably just not having to do things.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. How are you, man?
Good. Yeah, I've been waking up early.
That's good.
Just because my roommate is training for a run that got officially canceled, but is now a virtual run. So she was going to do a 50-miler. I forget the name of the location, but it was about an hour or 2 hours away.
Sure.
But because of the quarantine, COVID, all that, all basically races have been canceled.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people breathing on each other. But she's going to do it virtually. But she's been training for it.
What does that mean, virtually?
She'll run the distance at home. And then write on a piece of paper, I did it, and then mail it to the company.
Well, at least she's helping the USPS. That's
good. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Buy some stamps.
Yeah, I did.
Good. Good for you. Bobby, speaking of things that are good for you, did I mention earlier that we have a wonderful guest?
You did, but you haven't told me who.
I was going to right now. This is a comedic podcast about your favorite beverages. Each episode we have a guest. Guest brings a beverage of their choice, and we talk about why they chose it. This episode is no different, no exception to the rule, because we have a wonderful guest by the name of...
Do I say it?
Yeah. You say it.
Natalie Kozar.
Yay. Wearing a maroon shirt.
It looks black.
Nailed it. Natalie, how are you?
I am wonderful. It is so delightful to see you guys and
to see
the faces. I really, you know, that's a nice touch. You know, we get to finally hang out just the three of us, which is what I wanted for 7 years. At least.
For years and years and years.
Finally.
That would be the one good thing about all of this is we've expanded our operation out of Bobby's house.
Yeah,
and into the World Wide Web. So we've been able to see so many great friends, distances, long distances.
It's been nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for, I definitely tweeted myself into the show. So thank you for accommodating, you know, my direct complaint that I hadn't been asked up until now.
And for anybody who's listening and wants to be on, please do that. Because yeah, that makes our scheduling easier.
Oh my God. Yeah.
When you're doing the bare minimum to get a podcast off the ground, we need people proactive like yourself.
If you want to come on, tweet at us.
That's right.
It's very simple.
Poppin' Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Natalie.
Yes.
What beverage have you chosen to talk about with us today?
Well, I really labored over this decision. And in fact, I went back through all of your episodes and to make sure that I chose something that fit a niche that had not been touched yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm a good guest is what you should know first and foremost. Okay. I chose Swiss Miss Hot Chocolate Cocoa Mix sans marshmallows. That was my choice.
That was very important you said in the email. Definitely no marshmallows.
No crusty in the packet marshmallows. That's not how we're rolling today, and hopefully ever.
So you're not anti-marshmallow. You're just anti-prepackaged marshmallows.
If you're going to have marshmallows, you should have the fresh marshmallows mounded a mile high on top of a fresh pile of cocoa. You do not need crusty-ass sea monkey marshmallows that like rehydrate. No, ma'am.
I 100% concur. Actually, I'm going to go make sure my hot chocolate, BRB.
He didn't make it, everybody. And we're going to keep this part in.
Yeah, please demote him back to bar back because this is unacceptable.
You heard it here first, people. It demoted back after not even like 10 minutes in his new position. Nat, before we get into the cocoa, what's been new with you?
Oh man, I just got back from a lovely, safe, COVID-safe road trip through Colorado. It was really nice to finally
land.
Beautiful land, no mask wearing people. So there's a little asterisk there. And a lot of people from Texas were there. So we were trying to like be really respectful. But yeah, enjoyed beautiful Crested Butte in Durango. It was lovely. And yeah, that was the first time I've gotten out since March. So.
Was it an up and back or did you guys Airbnb or something?
We have a friend who like, you know, Crested Butte's like a ski town. So people just have, I guess, other houses that they don't live in. I'm confused.
I know somebody like that.
Yeah. So he was like, why don't you just use my like condo? Nobody's been in there. And we're like, where have you been all this time?
Can we live there?
Exactly. So he was super gracious and just let us like drive up there, hang out for a few days and take our way back. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. We've been talking about that locally just because, you know, we haven't really visited family out of terrible fear of death and are leading to their death. But, you know, like a day trip or something or maybe like a weekend somewhere. But then also it's like, is that, you know, how do we like square that with like, hey, we didn't come visit you and, you know, my sister and their your three adorable children, because we don't want to kill them. But we went to a nice, like, cabin.
Hey, were there three adorable children that you could kill at that cabin? No.
I should update my listing. They have to be cute. Bobby's back. Bobby, you missed it, but Natalie demoted you.
Oh.
For not having your drink ready.
That's you weren't fair. Prepared.
That's fair. I wasn't. It's only part-time.
Look, I have no power here. I'm just visiting, as Monopoly says.
You know, we take our comments from our customers very seriously. We'll review this, and we'll just like a restaurant, we are going to admonish you in person, and then do nothing behind the scenes.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
That's fair.
All right. So we should all have our cocoa. Is this true?
This is true.
Nice.
Look at my cup. They can't see it, but look at it.
It's a Chicago, and it's got an etching of the city.
I like that. Mine is a classic location here in Chicago.
Admirals.
The Admirals. If you go enough times, they give you a mug.
If you're there at 6 a.m. when the day starts over.
Who wants coffee? I just have a
clear it was tea earlier. Cheers. So let's drink it. We'll taste it. We'll talk about what we taste. As in all tastings, you're not wrong. What you taste is what you taste.
Oh, mine's so hot.
Delicious.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Creamy, chocolatey. Mine's perfect sipping temperature.
Mine is,
so is mine.
A little hot, but it's tasty as hell.
Right out of the kettle, you don't say.
Right out
you
of know the kettle.
I didn't admit this to you all, but I did put a little bit of almond milk in to cut to cut both the heat of the kettle and also to, like, you know, cream up the
chocolate.
I have some coconut milk. I should dump some in. But I'll save it.
I'll just have water. yeah, it's
good. I did.
It's
like, I was very close to choosing ice water as my beverage, and I thought, don't be an asshole.
No one's done it. I keep waiting.
my friend who's a water engineer toyed with doing regular tap water because he loves it so much, but he ended up doing Pellegrino.
Oh, right.
Because
that's
something we could all get and enjoy.
The one thing that stopped me was that I was like, I don't know how to answer the, like, where would I enjoy this? And, like, how nostalgic am I for it? So that's why I went for hot cocoa.
So it's, again, mine's made with only water. So it's kind of real watery up front. Then it gets creamy, and then I get a big hit of chocolate, and then it kind of just, like, fades away, like, real nicely. Yeah. Not in a, why is it gone way. It's like, oh, okay, now I can get back to more.
I haven't had a Swiss Miss in some time, but it just holds up. It's good. It's classic.
I know there's a boatload of sugar in here, but yeah. The chocolate wins out over that. Like, it just tastes good to me.
Yeah, after each sip, it's like, you said, you definitely are like, okay, time for a new sip.
Yeah,
like,
invited back. All right, well, before you get to your history of it, or tap water, if you want to switch mid-episode, let's get into the history of it. In 1950, a Korean War breaks out. Did we lose Rob?
No, I'm still here. I'm here still. I'm sorry.
He refuses to hear about the Korean War.
No, I'm here. I can listen.
He's a veteran. the Korean War breaks out. U.S. sends troops to the war, and with them, their ration packs. Included for this war, newly, is a dairy creamer that was contracted to be made by the SANNA. Anybody? SANNA?
Sounds fine.
Dairy engineers from Wisconsin. Run by Charles SANNA, whose dad invented the company earlier his life, to keep the troops supplied with powdered creamer, specifically for coffee. Because they would be penalized if they ever came up short in their deliveries, they mass-produced this creamer, and they had a big abundance of it.
Oh.
And it was perishable. So they signed this contract with the government. You'll give us so much creamer. And then once that contract ended, they couldn't use any of their old creamer that they've already made. They had to make it fresh every time. Because who knows how long wars last. So Charles, being like, we're sitting on this mountain of white gold, says, I bet this would make a bomb-ass cocoa. He gets to work in the family kitchen using his five kids and their local elementary school friends as taste testers.
God, I miss experimenting on children.
Me too. Those are the good old days.
Three adorable kids to drink my liquids. he finalizes it. He takes it back to his company. He's like, guys, we got powdered cocoa. This is going to be awesome. Originally launched under the name Brown Swiss, after the Swiss cows... famous for their milk. They sold it first to airplanes and hotels. But soon they 86'd that because people kept stealing it. They're like, this is some good-ass cocoa. In 1961, it hit the grocery store shelves under the name Swiss Miss because it was a better name than Brown Swiss. They grew and grew and grew, and as we see in a bunch of these brands, got sold a couple times to different companies. Eventually became owned by ConAgra, where they currently sell about 50 million boxes of Swiss Miss hot cocoa annually, including fun varietals. I don't know if anybody, was it just me that went to the Swiss Miss website?
Yes.
I think so.
Guys, get there. Everybody who's anybody goes to the SwissMiss.com.
I'm looking up Brown Swiss.
Put the not for safe work filter on.
Oh.
What's work?
Oh, yeah. Bobby doesn't know yet, but he will.
One day.
Lucky Charms Swiss Miss.
Oh.
Have Marshmallow Lovers Swiss Miss, which is more of those
here's the thing.
Marshmallows.
Yeah. If it were... Okay, see, I'm looking, and
I had that idea when I was in the shower this morning. I was like, I bet I would enjoy it if it were Lucky Charms marshmallows because I don't mind those. And here they are, first thing when you open it up. But I still think that they have unicorn marshmallows. I still think that anyone would like, should and enjoy the like actual marshmallows rather than the dehydrated kind.
The OG. Anyway.
Yeah.
Send us your home address and we'll mail you a box of Lucky Charms marshmallows.
I will do that.
Swiss Miss Lucky Charms. Bobby, get on that.
Okay.
They also have pumpkin spice and peppermint, of course. And that's the end of the history. Yay!
I have a question. Do they? Where are you guys? I've lost you. There you are. Before this came out, was it just, you know, like cocoa powder? Were people just like trying to do that? Because I've tried to do that and it's terrible. I don't know if I'm missing a step. Oh.
Yeah, I
you probably got to add a couple of extra ingredients to that.
Yeah, but sugar, namely. Yeah. Very bad.
Yeah, sugar, milk, cocoa.
Yeah, yeah.
Powder, because hot chocolate is as old as like people.
Yeah. It is people.
Oh, no. Hot chocolate is people. We didn't get into it this time. Maybe if anybody does just chocolate, heat it up.
Yeah.
It was so much good Swiss Miss history.
Swiss history.
Oh, I missed it. Bless you.
Swiss mystery. Ooh, that's a new podcast.
Ooh.
Hot chocolate mystery hour.
Okay, a spin-off podcast. We taste all the Swiss Miss varieties.
And we have to guess.
2 hours each.
Yeah, yeah. And we have to solve a murder during it.
It's niche, but we like it.
Yeah, people love it.
Yeah, it says the Mayans and Aztecs started drinking chocolate 2,500, 3,000 years ago. So it's pretty old.
I was actually worried I wasn't going to be able to find it at the store because I'm like, oh, hot chocolate's only sold like during the cold months. But no. Year round, man.
Plus, it's like eggnog that's like trying to make a ugh. Thing at Easter, where it's like, no, you don't get to do Easter.
No.
Yeah.
You have your time, eggnog.
You're not an eggnog fan, Josh Segovia?
I am, no. and I've tried a lot of them. I've tried at least 12 of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's hit or Swiss miss. It's true.
But if you're brand new, if we're getting the Natalie bump, check out our 12 Nogs of Christmas episode where we did try 12 different, including almond milk eggnog from Aldi and Trader Joe's, which out of all the eggnogs, those are the worst.
Yeah, they were.
Runny and thick at the same time. Not a fan.
It made no sense.
So Natalie, we have a segment on the show where we talk about your Swiss mystery history.
Yes.
And this segment is called
First Time, Last Time. You need to hear about the first time you had Swiss Miss hot chocolate powder, and then the last time, not including today, the last time you had Swiss Miss.
It can be reconstituted. It doesn't have to be just the powder.
I couldn't remember the whole name of it.
So I am certain that I drank this like before I was 4 years old. We lived in Alaska. And so I guarantee that was part of my existence, but I don't remember it. So I will tell you my first memorable hot chocolate experience.
Okay.
If you'll allow it.
I'll allow it.
We went to visit my great grandparents, Ivan and Effa Simmons, in Smith Center, Kansas, in who knows, 92 or something. I was maybe six. And they lived in this tiny Kansas town. It was like super adorable. And they had a place called Paul's Diner. And we would go to Paul's Diner for breakfast. And they came out, and this probably instituted my hate of the sea monkey marshmallows. It says the kids ordered hot chocolate. You know, the adults were all having coffee, but we got hot chocolates. And they came out with just like a normal cup of hot cocoa. And like, we'll just say it was Swiss Miss because it probably was.
Yeah.
With a mound of fresh marshmallows, like a huge fresh mound. And it was like I still remember it. How is this? Like, why? You know, it's not, but I was just like, this is living. Like, this is luxury. And we are being treated so special. And we just sat there, me and all my cousins, and like ate our pile of sugar and drank our delicious cocoa and felt like grownups. And it was delightful. And so it is not, you know, a beverage for adults necessarily,
But, you know, I love it. And I think it's like a nice alternative, especially in the winter months. So I'm glad I'm bringing this to you in August.
Right, we're happy to have it.
Yeah, it's good.
Not to backtrack, not to interrupt your story and ask a question that only I have. You said you grew up in Alaska or you were living in Alaska at the time?
We lived in Alaska for 4 years. My dad was in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
So we lived there because I was born in South Carolina, which is very different from Alaska. Mm-hmm. Then we moved to Alaska. Then we mm-hmm. moved to Idaho. And then we moved mm-hmm. to New Mexico. And then I moved to Chicago. And that's where you found me.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And so, that's where I found you. despite those, many of those being quite cold places, I disenjoy the cold entirely. So I have to find ways to enjoy it. Enter Swiss Miss and coffee and chai. I also wanted to do chai, but I thought it might be tricky to find a chai that we could all try.
Yeah, enjoy.
So I love a hot bev. Love a hot bev. So yeah.
I've come around to hot beverages in my old age. I used
to be 35?
Older.
Okay.
This is fun. over, under, under. I used to hate them with a passion, except when it was cold.
What about soup?
Hot, not a beverage, but I'll allow it. Love it.
Soup's not a beverage? I'm just asking. Like, it's a hot liquid. Some people hate soup.
No, I love soup. Okay. And stews and any variation. Okay. Opposite, I don't like a cold soup. I'm not a fan of that.
Okay, sure.
And maybe it's just the vessel in which it's in, because I love a cold salsa.
What?
What's going on here?
We're just talking about temperature liquids and new segment. What temperature is your liquid?
Let's all go around and say what temperature our liquids are, just to start.
No, but I've started drinking a lot more hot tea, like, daily. Mm-hmm. I never drank coffee growing up. I love a nice diner cocoa. You mentioned it in your story. Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it. Love it. Earl Grey tea every morning now, 24/7. Can't stop me.
I used to hate coffee. I used to hate the smell of coffee. I would get on the train in the morning to go to work because I worked in the loop at a law firm the whole time I was there. And, like, the first 2 years, because everyone smells like coffee, you know, and they have their coffee and they cram into the train. And I would, like, get off the train with a headache because I hated the smell so much.
Oh, wow.
And now I am a crack addict for coffee. I love it.
We danced away from it. But what about the last time you had hot chocolate in general or Swiss Miss?
It's got to be just recently. I think, you know, like I said, I love coffee a lot. And, you know, one becomes a certain age and having coffee after a certain hour becomes unacceptable, which is a really sad time.
What are you, 36?
Life. Under. And yeah, I can still hang if I have a cup at like 4 p.m. I'm still okay. But like if it's nighttime and I'm like reading or watching a show or, you know, getting ready to be all curled up, I just have a little cup of cocoa, and that really reinstituted about this year or last year. So I was just like, you know what I want? I want some Swiss Miss. And I just got some from the store, and now I kind of have it on hand no matter what, because it's warm and it's chocolatey. Plus, it sort of keeps me away from like having a bowl of ice cream or something, you know, like you can sort of, you're like, this is a treat, but it's kind of not. So it just sort of hit all those apexes for me. Yeah.
I have faith it's less calories than like a bunch of ice cream.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's still a lot of sugar, but
sure. But you know, you're trying. We're all trying.
You get it.
My my roommate has got into those mug cakes, which
You
know, it's like you throw it in the microwave in a mug and it's a cake all of a sudden. Not for me. I'm not a huge cake fan.
What about cake?
No. I like their first album, but the rest of it is just kind of garbage. So I got preachy. Bobby, first time, last time, hot cocoa in general, maybe Swiss Miss in specific.
First time, I feel like I was a little kid and probably at like a Cub Scout or like a whatever, like a, I don't remember what they were, but like the youngest part of like the Boy Scout thing.
Weebelows,
something like that. because I feel like it wasn't around my house, but like I would go to other my friends' houses at the time, and their moms would have hot chocolate. So I feel like just having a pack of that, maybe on like a hayride, having like a nice like Rob Grabowski just with his mug of cocoa, just sipping with his big glasses. And then last time I had it, I like coffee, but I don't need it. I don't make it. I never make it at home. But I like if I'm at a diner or something, I will like a cup of coffee. But if it's winter and I go to a Starbucks, I'm probably going to get one of their very expensive, very fancy hot chocolates because they're good. So I probably
very chocolatey.
So I think the last time was probably around when I was doing Deck the Hallmark. I probably got some hot chocolate in between shows one day just to give me that little energy boost. And they're good. They're good.
They remind you of the good part of winter, you know, before it turns to shit and it's like seedy. Yeah. It's just like, ooh, it's the first snowfall and things, you know, it's going to be Christmas and everyone get your whatever. Yeah. So
it's like, it's like hope.
It is.
Just a bit of hope.
A little less of hope.
And, you know, for 50 cents a packet, worth it.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? Josh, how about you?
America tried just a cup of hot cocoa lately.
America, send it out.
Get on it.
Email it to you.
What was the last time, first time you had a Swiss Miss or hot?
Okay. So Swiss Miss in general, I mean, I couldn't tell you. Growing up, I remember having hot chocolate when I was little, but I remember it being specifically around midnight mass. My grandma would make like a cinnamon Mexican hot chocolate.
Ooh, and I remember that like so good.
Yeah, that really like setting it off. And I was like, oh, Jesus, it's cool. And just like, because we'd dig in, we'd go to midnight mass, and if I could stay awake through it, we'd go home, we'd have some cinnamon cocoa. I'm sure the adults had like booze or something. I have no idea. And then we got to open one present. So like cocoa and like Christmas is very like mixed up in my my memory. They're swirled together like you would mix up a nice Swiss Miss. And then recently, similar, I got a couple of similar stories. One time I was studying, me and my friend, I think it was Brianne, we were studying at an IHOP for some theater final. Super cool guys, super cool nerds.
for a theater final?
We hit theater history. That was like the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah, those are hard.
You have to remember like Pythagorean cap. All those fucking like weird ass costume pieces. Anyway, so I was at IHOP, and you know they bring you the big mug of diner cocoa, and it's like in that heavy mug, and there was like whipped cream, not a mound of marshmallows. And I remember it being like it hit so nice, and I was like, "May I please have another, or can I have a refill?" And they're like, "There's no refills on hot chocolate," and I was just like. Oh, and my face dropped so much that the server felt bad and was like, we'll get you another one. I was like, thank you. And that was a nice cocoa memory. And then similarly, like Bobby, the last time I probably had cocoa out was at the Dunkin' Donuts on the Belmont stop.
Rest in peace. Because the last time I went to Chicago and I stood on that corner, I didn't know where I was. I was really confused. It looks so different.
There's so much stuff now. But like off the train and being like, oh yeah, there's that Dunkin' Donuts. And if you go to the side that's like not where everybody's outside of the train, it's usually a lot shorter.
Yeah.
So getting like a medium, you know, which is like a huge cup of Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate. Ooh, so good.
And look, whipped cream, totally acceptable substitute for marshmallows.
Oh, yeah. Or as they say in across the pond, squirty cream.
Is that real?
I don't
I've adopted that, yeah. Oh, I've been watching a lot of...
I don't believe you.
The Nadia on Netflix, Nadia Cooks or something. The girl from Great British Baking Show. But the first time she said squirty cream, I was like, what the fuck?
Squirty cream.
The things that they call desserts, just unacceptable across the board.
But squirty cream is now said constantly in my house.
Oh, my goodness.
Along with WAP.
WAP.
Those are the two heavy rotation.
I feel like whipped cream is good for on the go hot chocolate, but marshmallows is when you're going to be someplace for a little bit.
Because who can dip with marshmallows when you're on the go?
Yeah,
they're
you can't.
They're there. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't.
You
can't
usually don't have that. Like a, you have like a lid with on the go cocoa.
Also, you can, with whipped cream, you're more successfully like sprinkle like a little bit of cinnamon nutmeg situation on the top. And it's kind of harder to do that with the marsh. So
I concur. Yeah.
I'm glad we all agree.
We do.
Bobby, we have another segment on the show.
That's all the show is.
And I'm going to let you introduce it.
Oh, okay. which one? Do we do? Because I know we have a new one. Let's do this one. Let's do the newer one first. Is that cool? I forget what we call it, but Natalie, what was your very first alcoholic beverage?
ID. What was your first beverage?
Oh, this wasn't on the prompt.
It's new.
This is a new segment. Yeah.
My first had to have been beer, but like, can't tell you what, can't tell you where. It was just like a grab it and swig it, and you're 13, and we're all trying things type of situation.
Yeah.
In terms of like real, like we're really getting going, vodka for sure. For sure.
Was it the classic pop off? The plastic bottled vodka?
Anything we could get our hands on, truly. Cause our favorite is I started drinking pretty early, in like 14 high school, rough. And we would go to Sonic and you get any beverage of your choice and then you just like dump a bunch of alcohol in it and you're just walking around with Sonic house. You're just like, this is how I mix drinks.
Nobody knows.
Yeah, everyone. No one suspects. No, none of these adults think that these 14-year-olds are very drunk. But yeah, my folks were like teetotalers. Like nothing in the house ever. And so, you know, by the time we were like ready to explore, we're like, well, we're going to teach ourselves. And boy, howdy, did we go for it. So, and I remember specifically one of the worst things that we did was like, we're like, just had vodka. And we're like, what if we mix Crystal Light in this?
Oh, no.
It was bad. Yeah.
Like directly into it or like a pitcher of Crystal Light and then into vodka?
Directly into it.
Oh, God. That sounds
intense.
Yeah. I feel negatively towards myself, but here we are. And, you know, it's exactly what 14-year-olds should be drinking, though, or 15-year-olds. Like, what are they going to have, like a nice Templeton rye? No, forget it.
And dump it into a slushy from Sonic?
Yeah, I couldn't drink vodka for a very long time. I think my entire 20s, I was like, no. And then now I'm kind of circling back to it a little bit.
Sure.
You're like, can I have a diet cherry limeade and the 60-year-old whistle pig?
Exactly. And just like mix it all, or like the great nerd slush. Just mix it all in.
Put it all in. I need everything. And you got a little Crystal Light, just crack it on top.
just whipped cream and then Crystal Light. And call it a life.
And we did.
Me and Bobby, we already went a few times, so we're not going to burden our listeners with our lame stories. But Bobby, any cool drinking stories from when you were young and dumb?
Oh, yeah. You know, I can share the first time. I think there was a comedian I enjoyed, David Tell. We called it time traveling, where you have a few drinks, then you forget, and you show up somewhere else. You're like, what happened? What day is it? I remember the first time doing that in college, where I was at my house. Then I don't remember how I got to a party. And then the next thing I remember, I was at a 24-hour diner having a giant omelet. And I was like, well, this is a fun night.
Just three snapshots.
That's all I remember.
I've been very drunk for many years, but I have never once been like blackout drunk.
Whoa, really?
Which is very surprising.
Do you pass out if you've gotten too inebriated?
Yeah, I just go to bed, but usually I always make it home, which is fantastic.
Yeah,
that's good.
But yeah, I've never had like a blackout experience. And it's not like I didn't drink, so I don't know.
I'm the same. That's the closest I've gotten. I never just like blacked out and then woken up the next day.
Yeah.
And I drank.
Yeah.
I drank.
We've all drank.
Yeah.
Now that was for, you know, a good portion of my life. That was the majority of what I would do. would be blackout, maybe brownout, where you kind of like, you're like, okay, I got this. And then instantly, like, somebody stop hitting record.
Yeah.
Like
footage missing
from college. Yeah. Footage not found. Which, you know, in college was less of a thing, because I just assumed everybody was doing that.
Yeah.
Because some people would, and we would talk about it. And then the older I got, I was like, wait, no, this is bad. Like,
yeah.
Not being able to know or like control is bad. Rewind back to when I first started drinking. So I was basically, I didn't start drinking until my senior year of high school. But man, when I did, took off like a shot. One time we were going to go see Blink 182 at the Merriweather Post Pavilion. And we're like, well, all, and this was like in Maryland, we would all meet up at Tot Lots. This is what, how people drank there. You know, in my first experience. So we drove to this Tot Lot and we got, you know, soused basically. And I was like, okay, I'm going to drive home, because I live like 3 or 4 blocks from the Merriweather Post Pavilion. I was like, I'll park my truck at home and then I will walk over to the concert because that'll be safer.
Yeah.
So I start getting almost all the way home, and then it like really starts hitting me, and I'm just like, okay, keep it together. The way only a drunk person can.
Where you're
just
like,
yeah, if I repeat to myself, that'll make me fine. So I have to park, and the only parking available is a parallel spot. And I just like scrape the side of my truck against the car that's right in front of me. And then I just park it, and I'm just like, I'll just leave it. There's a big scrape on the side of this guy's car, but nobody can see the scrape on mine. They'll never know who did it.
Perfect.
And they didn't. And what a terrible person I am. And that's a confession.
Probably the worst trouble I ever got up to was I had these two really bad friends in eighth grade, like really, really bad influences. And they were like, the lead mean girl was like, you sleep over at my house, because I lived close to her. And she's like, and in the night, we were 14 years old. We're going to sneak out of her room, drive to the next town, steal her mom's car, drive to the next town, pick up our other friend, drive down the hill to the mean girl's boyfriend's house so she could like have sex with him. And like me and the other friend just like got drunk off Everclear in the back of a Honda Civic in the middle of the forest. Like, and until she was done having sex with her boyfriend, got back in the car, drove us back up the hill, dropped off our first friend, drove back to the original house, and she and I was now drunk as shit, had to scamper back into her second story bedroom and like go back to sleep and wake up the next morning, and we totally got away with it.
Oh, that's the best.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah. But sometimes you gotta have those experiences with the bad influences, and be like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that.
Maybe you're the worst and endangered my life several times.
Yeah. But God, I just want to be cool.
Just wanted a friend.
I get it.
Guess what? You've got two right here on the mic with you.
Boom, baby. Oh.
Via Zoom. Officially, hashtag Nat's friends.
Nat's friends.
Yeah.
Nat's friends.
Share that around. Bobby.
Yes.
We have another segment on the show.
We do.
Which was in the reading materials beforehand.
It was.
I'm ready for this one, I think.
Now, we've been talking about our exploits. We've been celebrating powdered cocoa. So we assume you've been having fun and laughing with us. But that being said, we know this was probably not your first choice to drink cocoa. But we want to know what that is. Where would your dream location be to enjoy a delicious hashtag ocean warm, ocean hot?
Ocean hot.
Ocean hot. Mug of Swiss Miss Cocoa. And what celebrity guests are you bringing with you? This segment is called...
I'd rather be here.
Oh, I nailed it.
I did.
And I just start?
Yeah, whatever.
I'm sorry.
We can prompt you if you want to...
Keep introing me. I'm getting ready. No, my first answer is a Christmas village. And I don't know where it is.
Your face lit up so much when you said that.
I love Christmas. I wish I didn't love Christmas, but I love it. I love it. Like, there's a way where everyone can orchestrate Christmas that it suits themselves and everyone's having a good time. And I take like a lot of pride in like really carefully orchestrating a Christmas experience for those around me. I love it. I love it. It's so fun. And so like, you know, in the ethereal, a tiny Christmas village, you know, in some like imaginary land with like penguins and whatever. Like total, or like, you know, even whatever, Chris Kindlemarkt in Chicago. Yeah, I'll take it. I love that place. That's like one of my favorite, most fond memories, is that stupid Christmas market. And then they stopped with the boot mugs and then I got mad.
They're back.
For that reason. Are they really?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're like, you can get a snowman mug as well. It's very strange.
Yeah, they have a couple now. They usually do a couple now each year.
They're fine.
Well, I have to move back. So, or, you know, maybe like an Austrian village or a German village in wintertime. Crested Butte. I don't know. Just a cold, nice, cozy place with like a fire and, you know, whatever. And my celebrity choices are the two women from Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
I haven't seen it.
Whose names I do not know, but I would enjoy their company a lot. So just, and like a nice, you know, just a cozy, nice cocoa with a fire and like gals and just like, so what's your hobby? Ooh. I don't know. That's my choice.
I like that.
Alternately, you know, like in the future, if I have like a bunch of kids and like Christmas and cocoa and that. So like the future or a Christmas village. Those are my- like not in New Mexico on an August day. This is the truth.
Yeah, we feel that. We hear you.
Yeah, I get you. I get you.
Also, you should see it, Draftsagovia. It is available on like Hulu or something.
Oh, I've heard it's great. I want to see it.
I do have a Hulu login. I'm not going to say who gave it to me.
Yeah, but
let's just say he's an excellent barback and a brand new daytime only non-lunch rush bartender.
Yeah, I just got promoted. I'm thrilled.
Bobby, where would your dream location be enjoying big mug of hashtag Ocean Warm. Swiss Miss Cocoa.
I guess my first response, of course, naturally is a Christmas village of some kind. Mm-hmm. But if I couldn't do a Christmas village, okay, in this scenario, my dream location, I am a snowman. And I'm a snowman. And I have befriended some kids in the town. We have a good day of just like sledding and like we're having a snowball fights. At one point, like, you know, my snowman head falls off and it rolls. The kids got to catch it and put it back on. We're having a grand old time. Even there's a point where one of the kids is skating and falls to the ice, but I, using my snowman powers, rescues the kid, and it's fine. And at the end, we roll around this like nice little bonfire, and someone hands me a hot cup of cocoa, and I drink it, and I remember everything, that I'm not a snowman. I'm a real person, and I slowly become myself once more.
Like the Campbell's Soup commercial.
Like the Campbell's Soup commercial, yes!
That was a very powerful campaign.
It was huge! And then, of course, my celebrity guest would be Michael Keaton as Jack Frost.
Jack Frost.
From the hit movie Jack Frost, where he played
Jack Frost.
Yeah. That's my dream location. Love it. If not, a Christmas village is not. If that's not available, then I'll become the snowman. Josh, what about you? What's your dream location?
This might surprise all three of us, but I would also be in a Christmas village.
Let's go to a Christmas village. Look, I've unlocked everyone's imagination. I'm very powerful.
So it would be a mix of, what was that? There was a terrible movie on Disney Plus with Anna Kendrick and Bill Hader for like 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
It's basically Fred Claus, but it's a lady, Frida Claus.
Noelle.
Man, what a stinker. I wanted it to be good because it sounded fun. There's maybe like, you know, 5 good minutes in it. I sat through the whole thing.
Santa Claus's brother or something?
What's his name is going to be Santa Claus, but doesn't want to be it. Fred Hader.
Yeah.
Bill Hader. He runs away and she has to find him to save Christmas. Anyway, we're getting off track here.
Yeah, good. Continue.
But I'm in that village, in that Christmas village. in the movie. Please, everybody, watch it so we can talk about how bad it is.
That inspires me. My grandmother lives a couple miles or a couple hours up from here, and she needed some care, so I went up to care for her. And bless her heart, she only watches the Hallmark Channel on repeat constantly. And this had happened before, and it happened near Christmas time, and we went up, and the joke was that, like, God, I can't watch one more of these Christmas movies. But this was in July, so I was like, okay, I'll be safe from the Christmas movies. But Hallmark was running a Christmas in July special, and so all of the same movies that we had just watched, like, and they're all so bad, and they all feature Candace Cameron Bure, and they're all, like, the same. Anyway, like, half of them take place in some Christmas village where, like, the dog saves the town. I don't know. It's all terrible, but I do want to live there.
Fair. That's fair. We're in this Christmas village. Anna Kendrick, who is Santa's daughter, has disappeared. I get a big cup of cocoa from the local cokery, and I walk up to the Christmas tree, and I'm about to hang an ornament, and it's one of those, like, snow globes.
Yeah.
And I pick it up, and I shake it, and I look in it, and I see high school me at that IHOP cafe that we were talking about earlier, and I magically fall into it. And I'm back in time. I'm my age now, looking at my younger college self. And I see that the waitress who gave me another cup of mug of cocoa is Anna Kendrick. And she's lost her memory. And she has no idea that she's Santa's daughter and needs to take over the family business. This is a prequel to Noel.
Okay.
Becoming Noel.
Yeah, becoming Noel.
Noel begins.
The first Noel. Yeah.
Which is weird.
No!
There you go. Write it down.
Damn it. I'm losing my touch. That was
good. Oh, you got it. You got it.
It's weird that the sequel is a prequel and it's the same story. But that's a lot of Hollywood these days.
A little Inception.
Yeah.
So I after she gives me my second mug of cocoa, I say, Noelle, what are you doing here? Don't you know you're Santa Claus's daughter? And she's like, ha, 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 that's funny. I have to work double shifts. And she runs away. And we have a very will they, won't they, but non-sexual. and we go on adventures. And eventually, you know, it ends up at the local. Well, we go to that, was it the Basilica in D.C.? And the nativity scene. And we have a very... we share a mug of Dunkin' Donuts cocoa. Swiss Miss provided two Dunkin' Donuts cocoa, okay. Which we've also filled up with booze in our to-go cups. And she's drinking this, looking at the Timothy scene. And I say, isn't this what Christmas is all about? And she's like, no. Now I remember it's all about presents. And then, like, you hear the music swell up and, like, candy canes go around her or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she's wearing her elf stuff. And we hot foot it back to Santa's lab. And boom, save Christmas.
Okay.
Santa's lab? Yeah. His laboratory?
Yeah. You think he's a scientist?
Yeah.
Dr. Santa Claus?
Where he conducts his experiments on those elves. That'd be my dream location.
You know, couldn't be clearer.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, thank you.
Makes sense.
But that's what hot cocoa elicits. Yeah. Whimsy. Yeah, I love that.
Whimsy, a good time, a fun.
Simpler times.
Oh, the best times. Josh, I think we have one more segment before we have to go into...
We only have one more?
Well, we have
a
couple.
Let's add eight more.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding. Natalie, our next segment is... We need to talk about a beverage that you hate, despise, revile, is evil. You... disgust you so much to the point that we have to eliminate it. We want to know what that beverage is, and we want to know how you're going to get rid of it. This segment is called
Cork It.
I leave the table if she fucking drinks Merlot.
I'm very ready for Cork It. And it's probably not going to be a popular opinion, but I would cork every single IPA that ever came my way. You cannot pay me to drink an IPA.
Oh.
And it is weird because IPA tastes like a Christmas tree. So you would think that I would want to drink it, but I do not. I think it is sappy and gross and thick, and it makes you feel like you've eaten like sap
and then a loaf of bread, and then it tastes bitter. And people just pretend to like it because they want to seem cool. And it's like, just like a light beer. A light beer is nice. So yeah. I would cork every IPA. I've never met one. I don't drink much beer these days anyway. Mm. And if I do, because I'm, you know, the gluten, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But even I would take any beer over an IPA. Couldn't be convinced.
Is there a specific one that stands out, or a specific time that you had it and you're like, what the hell is going on? How do people like this?
I think, you know, first when they probably were around forever, but my cognizance was that they were just popular all of a sudden, like when craft mm-hmm. beer was sort of on the rise and people were doing like brewery tours and breweries started popping up all over, you know, city and town. And I just, you know, people kept being like, oh, IPA, IPA, IPA. And then I'd like try one and I'd be like, not this one. And like every time, and they would just get woodier and sappier. And I was just like, do people, they like this? And like, you know, not to put anyone on blast, but I was like, mostly dudes. And I was like, is this a thing that like, you know, I'm not cool because a dude doesn't, and like weird stuff began. Like if you don't enjoy an IPA, you don't have a refined palate and all that stuff. And then it became a pretension thing.
No,
and I was like, well, now I hate it even more because I won't be shamed into like liking something. So the answer is no/all of them.
All IPAs forever and always. And how are you going to get rid of them?
By burning down every forest. I don't know. They don't come from trees.
They come from trees. They're made of trees.
They're made of trees. The drink is made of trees.
It's made of trees.
The thing is I think they're going to get rid of themselves. That's the truth. Sure. I think like any big fad, it will fade into the background and then they may come back in our short lifespans.
Slap bracelets.
Exactly. They got to go. The school will say, you can't have these. They're too distracting. And I think eventually there's going to be some new thing that, you know, you're cool if you like it. So I'm just going to ride it out and I'm going to respectfully let other people enjoy their beverage.
That's fair.
But I'm hate very, it secretly. Do you guys like IPA?
No.
Some.
Oh.
Yeah, same thing. I don't like, I like flavor. I don't like being oppressed.
Same. Yeah.
So I'll reach for a pale ale before I'll go IPA.
I think that's part of it too, is that like it's, if I'm drinking with food, the beverage has to complement the food. And if I have an IPA, it's like, this is the meal. It's so dense and you can't, that's it overpowers fair. Any flavor of the food. It's like, I would rather have like, you know, a glass of wine or something that like brings out the flavor rather than like punches me in the face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't like that a beer is, I don't like heavy beer. I just don't. Like I'm a light, call me what you want, but I like a light beer. I don't care.
Or you a light beer guy. Beer.
Yeah. I'm a light beer guy.
LBG.
But
so how do you get rid of it? You're just going to let, time itself. Sorry. I missed over that.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to be better about not like controlling others. So, you know, I'm just going to let everyone like do what they got to do. And I'm going to like respect my own journey and, you know, it'll fade into the background.
Bobby, I have a feeling you won't respect everyone's journey. How are you going to get rid of all of them?
Well, I feel like we've done IPAs before, and I feel like I just burned a lot of hops, and I don't want to go down that route again.
No more hops.
So I'm going to make a hops tax. I'm going to crank it up so much where IPAs are going to be very, very expensive. So yeah, sure, some elitist douchebags will still be able to afford it, but not everyone will be able to. And so they become so expensive that like they just like people just stop drinking them altogether because they're too expensive to have on a regular basis. And then eventually just everyone's like, what? I don't want to pay that much. A Miller Lite's only $2. I'll have 10.
Oh, man.
So it's a simple way, but that's what I'll do. I'll just crack, kick up those hops tax. A hops tax.
So a hops tax?
Yeah,
a
hops tax.
Josh, do you remember when Miller High Lights were $1 at Big City Tap or whatever it was called?
Yes.
And then they had to stop doing it.
Because it just invited a shit show?
Yeah, people would be like, I will take 20.
Yeah. <Here's->
For me and my two friends, we'll have 20. And 20. Where are they?
They're here, don't worry.
Yeah. And you get a tip? No.
No.
No. Big shitty.
Yeah.
Gosh, how would you get rid of all the IPAs if you had to?
Okay, so we've kind of danced around it, but I think I can see it now. Again, going back to grad school, getting molecular biology degrees, I will make a special hop that tastes so delicious, it has to be made into IPAs. But in this hop, I've secretly included the chemical information that when drank by somebody who's an enormous douchebag, it's induced by privilege and maybe money. Who knows? Douchebags can be any tax bracket.
Yeah.
We'll just say douchebags. A giant douchebag will drink this delicious, irresistible IPA and instantly turn into a tree, just like the Book of Life.
Whoa!
Where they sit, where they stand, from their body will sprout a ginormous, beautiful tree. But it won't happen to everybody. It'll only happen to pieces of shit. So pieces of shit are turning into trees all over the globe. People can't figure out what it is. They associate it with the IPA, but other people are like, I'm drinking it, I'm safe. But they get scared. And they're just like, I don't know. What if I ever turn into a piece of shit? That's going to happen to me.
So that reminds me of, sorry, there's like a Halloween movie where the curse is that people turn into their costumes. It might be Halloween Town 2, Calabar's Revenge.
Is this also on Hallmark?
No, this is a Disney original, please. Keep up. And so every year I think about that before I get a costume. I'm like, okay, but if there's a curse, would I want to be a toilet forever? Or would I want to be like a superhero? So, sorry. That's what reminded me of.
Toilet hero.
Toilet hero.
Yeah, mashup. So there's all these new trees. The earth is doing better. We've got more oxygen. Everybody's afraid of IPAs, and they go away.
Perfect.
Done.
My dreamland.
Yeah.
And then Christmasland is more aplenty because there's more trees.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh. Also, and we start living in the trees, like the Ewoks.
Is that a Hallmark?
I've never seen Star Wars.
They live in trees. I mean, that's all you need to know.
Little bear creatures.
Yeah, I know what an Ewok is. But I don't...
You've never seen Star Wars. Have you seen any of the Ewok movies?
Yeah, like batteries not included.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that counts. Yeah.
I wonder if that movie still holds up. It does in my memory, but I haven't seen it in years.
Batteries.
The last time I did a podcast with Rob, I brought up that movie, actually.
What is that? Fried Green Tomatoes? Yeah.
Yeah, so like, yeah, because all those old people kept making all the movies, and I thought they were all the same movie. Yeah. They're not the same movie, so...
I wonder if Battery's Not Included holds up. I'm going to say yes.
Yep. I'm going to say yes as well. Well, it's cocktail time.
Cocktail segment.
Go make a cocktail.
I've got to run and make a cocktail.
He leaves. I was wondering. Yeah.
Did you guys already make yours?
No, I got to go make mine. Oh.
You did already?
Well.
Well, we'll give you this opportunity to fill.
I'll just vamp you guys. Go ahead.
Just vamp. Normally, we'll cut this out, but if it's really tasty, we'll
put it. That's too much pressure. Because when I re-listen to it,
it's a bonus.
Cocktails. Oh.
And we're back. Ladies and gentlemen, we've all gone to our respective kitchens, except for one of us, to make our cocktails. And we're back to talk about them. Please stay tuned at the end of this episode for a very special treat. Halloween-rific. So do we all have our... I apologize. I forgot Squirty Cream.
I also don't have Squirty Cream.
Okay, perfect.
To be fair, I was missing one of the ingredients, so I just kind of made a quick thing.
We've all made the cocktail. and Natalie, each episode, I told you earlier, we have a guest drinks a beverage choice. Talk about the choice. But we also make a cocktail with the beverage you've brought in honor of our guest. And because it's in honor of you, we've named it after you.
Yay!
So we are all about to enjoy a cup of Cocozar. AKA Hot Swiss Natalie. Either name is good, or they're both bad. Feel free to make up your own. We can change it in post.
Brown Swiss.
Brown Swiss.
Yeah, OG.
I was missing an ingredient, so I substituted one. So we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's dig in, and then I'll tell everybody what's in it, and then you'll give it a letter grade after we've talked about it. Cheers.
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 I should have made mine when you made yours, because now mine's cold.
Cold Swiss, Natalie? Doesn't have the same ring.
Brown Swiss. It's good. I mean, mine's good, but mine's a little different.
Well, this was the recipe that went out. 3 ounces of triple sec, 3 ounces of orange juice, 1 ounce of Bailey's Irish cream. That was optional. 1 packet of Swiss Miss, topped with squirty cream, and then a fresh orange zest on top. Let's all talk about what variations we've made, and then we'll give them all different letter grades.
So I thought I had triple sec. I don't. I got to get a bottle. So I just made more hot cocoa and added Bailey's to it, and it's delish.
You don't have Cointreau? I thought you had a big bottle of it at your house.
Mm. Oh, I could have used Cointreau. No, I have triple sec. Never mind. I'm confusing. I confuse it with orange juice. I'm stupid. I didn't have orange juice. I did have triple sec. I didn't have orange juice, so I made it with emergency.
It's almost more fitting, a powdered orange beverage.
It is, and COVID and everything. And you know what the tricky thing is? I don't hate it. It's not terrible.
Yeah, I bet that would bring a very concentrated orange flavor. I think that's good. I made it with everything I mentioned, except for squirty cream and orange zest, as I said previous. Yeah. I'm out of squirty cream.
You know, squirty cream. Usually I'm not a chocolate orange guy because I always think of those like big obnoxious chocolate oranges that you like crack open and smash. everyone's like, yum, try this. And I'm like, this tastes like, ugh.
Yeah.
But I like this. I don't mind this.
I don't mind a hint of like orangey chocolate. I don't like it overpowering, but like
Yeah, this is definitely chocolate with a little bit of orange. The other way around is quite annoying.
Josh, what made you think of this combination?
Well, originally, full disclosure, this wasn't my original thing. I was going to do a strawberry version.
Oh.
And why didn't you do it? I had written all up, and I was about to send it out. And then I was like, wait, let me make sure that, you drink, because some people don't drink, and I have missed that previous. But then I was like, oh, you very specifically in the email said, I'm allergic to strawberries.
Can't have it.
And I was like, this is the way I make cocktails. I wait till the last minute. So I think about like the main flavor of whatever the drink is. And then I think about what works with that, enhances it, or is a fun contrast. And this kind of, because I couldn't do strawberry, I was like, well, I don't want to do another berry, because I feel like strawberry would be the best out of the berries. Like blueberry and chocolate. I hate blueberry coffee. So that was like an
raspberry big contender.
Ooh, I love raspberry as a preserve. So I was thinking citrus. I was thinking what else goes with chocolate, and then kind of backed into it from there. I also look at my home bar and see what I have on hand.
Sure.
Yeah.
This sounded good. Played with it a little bit, and it grew on me. I don't hear it.
Mine's all gone, so I must have enjoyed it on some level. I think, I think this would be like at a restaurant. I could see in the winter it being pretty popular. Something like you said, a little bit different. I think you're right that chocolate only goes with a couple things. Like when people try to get to, you know, they're like chocolate, lavender. It's like, no, you lost me.
No.
And so while orange isn't like my first go-to when I think of chocolate, but I think it's a lot of people's, like, especially we're talking about Great British Bake Off. God, they love it. Like every time somebody does a chocolate, they always do chocolate orange. So I could see it definitely with the squirty cream and like the shavings, maybe a little nutmeg on top.
Yeah. Popping
super
off.
Good.
Ooh. You could even make it more boozy too. If you had like a, you do like a regular vodka or a flavored vodka.
Oh, sure.
Just a little bit, like an ounce maybe.
Yeah.
I think the triple sec carries it a long way, actually.
Yeah. Because it does taste, it tastes boozy for sure.
It does, yeah.
Hey, I tell you, Bailey's goes with any hot drink. I'll say that. I'll boldly say that.
I really want to get into like Bailey's or Irish creams and dessert coffees and stuff like that. I just don't know where to start. It seems like even though I was a bartender and people would be like, I want an Irish coffee. And I'd be like, I don't know. Here, have this. I never knew what I was serving them.
Those rummies drank it up.
Yeah. What you're asking for is whiskey and you'll have it. So yeah, if you have any like tips about Bailey's, I would much appreciate it. Because it's like, do you have to, you just have it on hand, but you keep it fridged. I don't know anything about it. So
no, Bailey's doesn't have to be fridged. It's fine cold, but you can add it to, it goes with a coffee or hot chocolate. That's what I usually.
Just whatever you're already drinking.
Yeah. Yeah. It just like, just a splash. You don't want to overdo it. Because it is a little sweet and it is powerful, but it's tasty. Like I Bailey's coffee I have quite often during the cold.
I think that's going to be my winter this winter.
Yeah,
I think that's
do a little Bailey's coffee.
Yeah.
They have a few different flavors of Bailey's too. I can't remember if we've done, did we do an episode on Bailey's?
No, we've never done just Bailey's.
No. Maybe we'll do a Bailey's tasting this winter.
Ooh, that'd be fun. Mm. You still got to do that vodka one.
Vodka Crystal Light. Yeah, all the flavors you can hope. Well, you got to give it a letter grade, Natalie.
I, for my emergency version, I will give it an emergency. No, I think if I had your version and, you know, the next time I'm near you in the wintertime and we have all these ingredients and you can make it for me, I will give this a solid. In Santa's Village with Nicole Kidman. What's her name? Anna Kendrick. I would give that drink a B+. This drink that I made with emergency, I will give a C.
All right. I'll give your drink an A. I'll give my drink a B. And I'll give Rob's drink incomplete.
Fair. I'll take it. Still passing.
Well, that's all the segments. But what our viewers are dying to know is where can they see you? What have you done lately? And what are you enjoying now that we're all locked inside?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They can't see me anywhere, and I love that. I love that I've just, like, fallen off the map. I know. I'm not doing any online shows. I'm, like, I'm gone. I'm disappeared. No, they can see me. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram.
What's your handles?
My handles are at – oh, I've changed them. At ND Kozar, Natalie, switch to ND for both Instagram and Twitter. And, you know, send me an email. I love to chat via email. Yeah. And that's all. I'm going to be in grad school all year, so please reach out to me.
Please say hi.
Very, very lonely. Yeah.
If you have any papers you want to sell her.
please, at a discount rate, because school is expensive.
Anything you've been enjoying recently? I know quarantine has led to a lot of binge watching, binge reading, binge eating.
Truly. I really have enjoyed, I enjoyed the movie The Last Black Man in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Super, super delightful. Also, I've rewatched The Office for like the 9th time. So, you know, a classic and a new. And I read several things because you have to choose based on your mood what you want to keep reading. So there's a book called the Nordic View of Everything. Very fascinating. Just sort of about how all the Nordic towns are doing everything really well and how everyone else is not. So, you know, again, little dip of hope. And also the New Yorker magazines have been fun for me.
Good.
That's what I'm reading.
Love it.
Nice. Bobby, anything you're pushing or pulling?
I actually do have something to push. So last summer I worked on a little independent movie called Love Dump. It's a spoof of Hallmark movies. It finally has a premiere date this upcoming Sunday, August 23rd. You can catch it at 6 p.m. Central Time at twitch.tv/lovedumpmovie. It's featuring some great Chicago talent. It's super fun. I play a garbage man. What's not to like about that? So check it out. This Sunday, 6 p.m. That's twitch.tv/lovedumpmovie.
Cute.
Yeah.
Cool.
Josh, what about you? You got to plug anything?
Oh, no plugs. Please, find me right here. If you found me right here, tell a friend. You know, we're in our second hundo epos, and we want to make them even better.
Yeah.
You know, we've got some of the best guests we can find coming up, including this episode. And let's just grow this thing.
Yeah.
What else are we doing? Tell a friend.
Yeah, pass it around.
What else are we doing?
And if you want to be a guest, just reach out to one of us.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
And vitamin C's. emergency. I watched Motherless Brooklyn. Ed Norton's very loose adaptation of the book by the same name, which was a 1990s, he set it in the 20s or the 30s and made it like noirish.
Is it good?
It was good at times. It felt very, cause Norton wrote the screenplay and directed it. It felt like film school-y / masturbatorially.
Sure.
Like a very, you could tell it was a passion project. I enjoyed it overall, but parts of it, I was like, come on, like somebody rein this guy in.
Edward Norton.
Yeah. There's a lot of talent in it. All those New York-based HBO actors. Bruce Willis is in it. It was chock full of good performances and just some weird stylistic choices. Give it up. What else are you doing?
Yeah.
Tell a friend.
Give it a watch.
Natalie, thank you again for coming on to our podcast. Thanks. We were thrilled to have you.
Thank
it's
you
great
for
to
having
see
me.
You.
Yeah.
I can't wait till we can all gather in a village, drink mugs of cocoa and laugh.
One day.
Someday. We have one last thing to do before we let you go, and that is our end of the podcast cheers.
Which should be in your chat.
Yeah, Bobby shared in the chat, but let's grab our glasses, we'll raise them high, and let's all say together,
whatever
you glass. Put a toast in the end. I get it. I was like, what is this message?
I should clarify before I send the message.
Yeah. We should update that email that tells people what's happening.
Yeah, we should.
We should do a lot. I did fine.
Yeah. No, you did great.
Yeah, you were great. This is notes for us.
You put the team on your back.
This is for us. Beer is a mellow drink, but it'll keep you on the run. Whenever you want to drink or two, choose the drink that pleases you. Drink your mash, talk your trash. That is the right thing to do. Latch. Champagne makes you happy. Vodka keeps you thin. Tequila makes you want to fight. But I'll try them all over again. Okay. Well, while they are gone, I'm going to tell you about how much I love the Disney original movie, Halloween Town. See, a lot of people enjoy Hocus Pocus. And Hocus Pocus is great. I'm not going to like disparage Hocus Pocus at all. But Halloween Town, for some reason, just captured my imagination as a child, which now that I'm looking at it, definitely came out in 1998 and I was 12, which was too old to be enjoying the movie Halloween Town. But Halloween Town, the best part about it, beyond a doubt, is Debbie Reynolds, okay? So Debbie Reynolds is the grandma and she lives in Halloween Town, which is a magical Halloween village in the sky, unknown. And her granddaughter, Marnie, is about to turn 13 and she's gonna lose her witch powers if she doesn't go to witch school or something. But Marnie's mom like disallows Halloween in the house because her dad was a human and they're gonna be raised human and it's unclear. But grandma comes back and then takes the kids sneak out and follow her on a school bus to the sky. It sounds so terrible when I'm describing it, but I really love it. And the three kids go to Halloween Town. And then of course there's like, you know, an evil guy in the town and his name is Calabar, which is why Halloween Town 2, Calabar's Revenge, Calabar Returns. So it's really great. And Marnie's great, but the best part is Emily Roski, who's the little sister. And the music is by Mark Mothersbaugh, who did like Rugrats and a thousand other things. and you know, the kids save Halloween Town and the mom comes to Halloween Town and she says, okay, you can be a witch or a wizard, and they all have to come together and use their witch powers to save Halloween Town. And it's really fun. And Debbie Reynolds is delightful.